blessings of love and respect we offer to you all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hirdaya, homage to the wisdom in your heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, a joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sāvaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be a willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness splits into all consciousness. your hand to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Those who are new to practice, there are mat jacks in the corner. If you'd like to have one, help yourself.
Read something that it just had a big impact on me, and that was that sitting in meditation, either alone or with a group, is an act of power.
An act of power?
Yeah.
Say more.
And I guess what just what struck me about that is to sit in the silence is the way to access that inner silence, and to access the, well, I guess there was also another quote with that that was like, there's no perfect teacher, that the perfect teacher is within me.
Is within you. The perfect teacher is within you. Mm-hmm.
And to just see how that enables, is the opening to access that silence and that the gateway to finding that inner wisdom.
I see. So as you sit in silence, it gives you sort of an avenue into your inside, your insights.
Yeah.
And to the to kind of, we might say, your true teacher, which is also, which resides inside.
Right.
And that's powerful.
It was powerful for me because it goes against you know, all my conditioning as a kid, that, you know, that it's all out there, and you know, it seems like so much what the world is just based on is, you know, anything but sitting still.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, rushing, doing, and
anything but turning inside.
Anything but turning inside. That, you know, all the answers are out there, and you just gotta look for, you know, something external.
Right.
And so, you know, to just come back, and I think even as I came to sitting practice, even though no one said I must sit, there's something drew me to sitting practice. I didn't approach it as an act of power, you know, it was like, oh gosh, I you know, I'm doing this thing. It's kind of hard, and so to and just to come with that attitude of mind, and even makes me want to sit in a place of, you know, just my posture and everything, just to sit in a place of power.
And to sit in a place of power, that's great. Yeah. Could you say more about how is it an act of power? You said it's powerful for you.
Right.
But I think that's different from
what you mean. It's an act of power. Well, it's an act of power in that it goes against, I see that it just goes against the voices of conditioning, for one thing.
Yeah, which for most people have all the power.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. You know, and it's just saying no to that conditioned system and saying yes to being with this person or being with this being and in a place of acceptance.
And there's a power in that. In terms of our own experience, right? And also kind of in terms of the life that is possible for us.
Yes.
I mean, it's power not just in the sense of, if I'm kind of tracking what you're saying, not just the sense of powerful, like a powerful experience, but it's also powerful in the sense of, you know, the power to change and transform or move things.
Exactly.
In terms of our, like in terms of our lives.
Exactly. Yeah, and having that power come from within is freedom.
It really is, instead of from without. You know, I think the way a lot of people think about power is sort of like, you might say, instead of like kind of the power of awareness or spiritual power, the power of, kind of like political power, you know, like power over, which is, you know, you get that kind of power by having a certain position or having a certain amount of money or something like that. There's no awareness in it, and also there's not necessarily any awareness in it, or necessarily any kindness or compassion or anything like that. And so, in a way, it's not particularly powerful in the way that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The kind of power you're talking about is much deeper and has an ability to affect things on a much more profound level.
Yeah, and I don't know if this, it's like as you're saying that too, I just realized, I think I did first come to meditation as seeing it was a way to get the kind of life I wanted. And there's something now about just seeing that the power is being in the kind of life I want for the world. The power in that.
Oh, that's powerful. So let me reflect that. So you feel like you were seeing just now that you came to practice looking for the power to have a life that you wanted for you. And now what you're seeing is that the power that's being offered is to have the life, I can't remember exactly how you said it, but the life that's the best for all, the most compassionate for all, what we all want.
For what I want for the world.
What you want for the world. Yeah. Which is a much more powerful place
to be. It's just, it's hard to put into words, but it's not that place, like you're saying, of the I just grasping things for itself, you know, whether it's peace or whatever.
Even if it's something like that.
Exactly.
Even not just like, you know, like position or money or something, but even like peace. Serenity.
Right.
Even that is a much less powerful place to be acting from than what we want for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I bet, you know, most people, I would imagine, hearing what you're saying would say, that doesn't make sense. You know? Because how do I get what I want? You know, that's not, it's weak. You know, it's weak to give up what I want in order to surrender to the whole. But of course, we know it's way more powerful.
Yeah, you know.
It's the only way we can really have the experience that we're looking for.
Right, and I don't know how I even know that, but it just somehow resounds inside of me to just come from that place. It's like, oh yes, this. That's it.
Yeah. One of the things I especially like about what you're saying is this is not just a theoretical idea. There's actually a way to this thing that you're talking about. And today, I mean, we could talk about a lot of kinds of ways, but this morning you're talking about it in terms of stillness and silence. And sitting is a way of accessing that or practicing that moving inside where our true teacher is and where the power is that we all have. Many of us are separate from that, some of the time or all the time, but it's there, the power we all have to live in union with life and really have the kind of, we might say, the life that we're here to live.
Yeah. And as we all go to that place, wow, if we all get to go to that place, it just makes it possible. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you could extrapolate from that, and if everybody was doing that, it would change the nature of outside power too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cameron.
Well, I was just in a group where I was talking about something similar to that. In that, I've just been going through a process where, out in the world, where it would be completely expected for me to be focusing on me and what I want. I mean, it's part of what would be in this particular kind of interaction.
Everybody would agree that would be the response.
Yeah, that's what this thing is about. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're doing here, And as a practice, and also because I wanted to feel good about doing this thing that I was doing, as a practice, I kept in my interactions, I kept trying to step back and see a bigger picture, and to have my interactions come from my heart, and in doing that, I'm not sure how much it was noticed, at least at one point there was actually, I offered something and I was in the role of trying to get something, So I think that must have been noticed, but I didn't really care if anybody noticed it. It was affecting the way that I was doing it.
Yeah, that's not the point.
That was not the point. And it was an interaction about something that overall I want to feel good about, and I wanted to feel good about the transaction that was enabling it to be, And I just felt so grateful to be in a position that I would even think to have that perspective.
For sure. On so many levels.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, on one level, just in terms of your experience as you're doing that. The other one is, if you were to get what you want from that other place, that would be horrible.
Right? Yeah.
It'd be miserable. You would get the thing, whatever the thing is, but you would also get probably feeling bad about yourself and all the kind of things that come from acting from a separate I.
Yeah.
But I'm projecting from this other place, it doesn't really matter if you get the thing or not, but you're going to get what you want, whether you get the outside thing or
right,
not.
Right, right. And from the world's perspective, getting the thing you want in this particular kind of dynamic is what it's about. I mean, I wouldn't have even had to have felt bad about myself, but I'm not. I'm me, though, and I have a different perspective.
Well, you have a larger awareness.
Awareness, and I wanted to do it differently, and so I did my best within the structure to bring that to the interaction, and in doing so, I just realized how lucky and how grateful I am to be able to look at it that way.
Yeah, well, in terms of power, just because we're just talking about that, it gives you the power to, in a way, have what you want, but on a deeper level, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah.
Because we get what we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so I'm projecting what you're talking about. I don't know if these words fit for you, but the place that's the most compassionate for all.
Yes, that's what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're aware of that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you weren't aware of that, that wouldn't be an option for you.
Right.
You would not be able to act from that place. And it would be completely excusable because, you're not aware of it. How are you supposed to act from something you're not aware of?
Right.
But you are aware of it. And so there's both the kind of the opportunity and, we might say, the responsibility, we could say probably, to attempt to act from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of motivation in it sounds like, because, it's just, it feels better. Like I said, you wanted to feel good about what happened, and no matter what happens with that, you get to feel good about it, because that's the past the attempt you're making.
Right, and I don't want to feel that because everybody in the world doesn't practice awareness, that as soon as I have to do some transaction with the world, I have to get down in the trenches and, mm-hmm. you know, duke it out with everybody.
Right.
You know? So it was an experiment, and I mean, there's a lot of other things going on that were experiments, and that was what I related to in the first, mm-hmm. in the previous sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, just feel so grateful and so lucky to have been in that position.
And to have something to give.
Yeah.
Instead of just taking, but to have something that you can offer, even in a situation like that.
Yeah, even if it's subtle and nobody, I mean, there were a lot of things where, maybe it wasn't subtle, I don't know, but I know it felt better for me to come from that place than to try and go into what was expected there.
Right, which is really what matters, isn't it?
Yes, exactly,
Thank you.
sort of along similar lines, I've been looking at this continuing, this sort of new opportunity of a jury summons.
Okay.
So I went around with Sherry about this a while ago, you know, months ago.
Hang on a second, Pete.
I didn't hear that.
A jury summons.
Because she had just made this comment about her teacher saying, you know, I'll serve on your jury, but I won't find anyone guilty.
Uh-huh.
And,
that's been a koan for you, like a spiritual puzzle.
Yeah. And, well, what it did was put things in a larger perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason being that he did not want to take on the karma of mm-hmm. making a decision about someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a number of things about that, one of which was that I had compartmentalized something like a jury summons as a citizen thing, but that, you know, not really a practice thing,
mm-hmm.
or that practice would be, okay, I'll go and I'll be as present as possible, but I just sort of didn't encompass it in the way that the notion of karma started to encompass it.
Where the whole experience is happening in the context of compassion and awareness. And you're looking at it for just a much larger place that includes something like the karmic ramifications of what you do.
So I had, right after Sherry had that discussion in group, I got a jury summons. And a local jury summons.
So perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I didn't have to go. You know, you call and I didn't have to go. I thought, well, I'm sort of glad I don't have to deal with that. And then I just got another jury summons for federal district court.
Yeah, it's just going to keep up.
Raising hands. Trying to
deal with this thing.
That's right. So, and I pretty much have been assured that I will have to show up this time. So, it's been just really fun to look at it. And I've just seen a couple of things. One, sort of as people have been saying, is I feel so grateful to be coming into a situation like that from a larger perspective,
mm-hmm.
and actually grateful for the challenge it presents to me. And, you know, so I watched conditioning want to say, well, either you have to go in and say, well, you know, if they call me, I'm going to serve, or if you're going to be a good Zen student, you have to say, no, I won't find anybody guilty or whatever, because that's what the Zen teacher said.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see clearly is that what I am called to do is go be there and see what arises, truly what arises in conscious compassion awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're looking forward to that. You're looking forward to the challenge.
I am looking forward to the challenge of that. And the other thing that's been fascinating is, you know, I realize that none of my spiritual background, my spiritual path, has really involved any notion like karma, you know? And so every morning I say, you know, everything I do creates karma and I shall surely experience this karma. But I haven't really had to look at what is that, you know, in quite this way before. And so it feels like a great opportunity to enter into some experience that will help reveal to me what some sense of really what karma is.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I've seen about it so far is that it's a whole different way, a whole new way of understanding connection.
A whole new way of understanding connection?
I think what I had seen in terms of karma, and even everything I do creates karma and I shall surely experience this karma, because I think if I had to visualize it, it was like this huge moving impersonal force that was impacting me. And then, you know, I would do one thing or another and either advance that force or maybe retard it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't seen it as everything I do affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I shall surely experience that, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just like it just exploded it into another way of understanding connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, if this is what arises, I don't choose to make this decision about another person's life because it affects everything. It affects everybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had never, I'd never seen it that way, you know, that there's a, that every action, every piece of energy we put out there connects with every other piece of energy out there.
Absolutely.
And I hadn't, I just hadn't had that way of thinking, of experiencing karma before.
Right, and so there's a tremendous responsibility in that, isn't there?
Huge responsibility. And it's just a, I feel, it's just such a neat opportunity to have what had been, I think, a pretty little concept for me get much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then give me something to enter that situation within that I wouldn't have had before.
Yeah, plus you got the situation too, which is just, it's one of those remarkable, you know, life is on our side. You know, it's definitely on the side of expanding awareness. Because I think that came up, and then it's just an evolving workshop for you, obviously.
Yeah. I got out of it the first time. This time I'm not going to be able to get out of it.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it sort of does seem like it was an insistent opportunity.
Yeah, and I actually remember that that conversation somewhat. And it seems like we were one of the things we were talking about in relationship to that karma was that we don't know, which adds kind of another kind of element, I think, to what you're looking at is. You know, because you're really looking at this and exploring it, and you know you're seeing all this about karma. But ultimately, we can't really know what the karma is, and so we have to act from presence in a state of not knowing, which is really a challenge in terms of conditioned mind. Because conditioned, you know, that's just so outside the box for a conditioned mind.
Yeah, and conditioned mind so wants me to enter that situation already knowing what I'm going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and so you're, among a lot of other things, what you're practicing is not knowing.
Right.
Because
right.
that's really where the information is. It's expanding in front of you. It's not like you're not creating this opportunity.
Right.
It's just expanding in front of you. And the more that you stay open, the more that you'll see, and in a way, the more you'll understand, but not in this knowing kind of way.
Right. The more I will be available to what arises.
The more you'll be available to what arises. And at some point, it sounds like in this stage, you'll be called upon to act.
Perhaps. I at least have to go in. You know,
yes,
you never know if you go in if you're actually going to be interviewed or anything like that. But
right.
At least I have to go in, and then we'll see.
Yeah, well, the whole, you go in, and then it's here comes practice meeting this circumstance. And that will be a whole other level of the workshop, because you'll, if in my experience anyway, you'll watch yourself do that. And it will be just really fascinating to see how that goes. Because you won't know. You're not going in there with a plan.
No.
You're going there with an openness, and then stuff will happen.
Right.
And all of that will be fascinating also.
Yeah, because what I really see is if I go in saying, well, what Sherry's teacher was saying, what Sherry would say is this, I don't want to take on the karma of, I can do that, but I won't learn a thing about karma.
Right, and you'll also be experiencing your karma.
You'll I'll be, just be advancing the same old karma.
Exactly, yeah, that's karmic.
Yeah, but I won't see anything about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was looking at something. I was doing this phone call this morning when we were facilitating each other, and I got off the phone, and I just started sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
Sobbing and sobbing. And I'm like, okay, I can either create a story, or I could just let it move through. I had no idea why I was probably for about 5 minutes, and then, you know, move through, and I started just breathing. And I thought, the thing that I was seeing as folks were talking, that may have been what was going on, is that I was very humbled in the phone call by the folks practicing. So it's a lot of people like us. You know, I mean, it is us. We're just not here. Practicing together in the same way, looking at stuff. And that we keep looking, and we keep coming back, and we keep looking, and we keep coming back. And And someone said, I think this is what my is that, well, I don't know what someone said. What I got to was, my job is to be really, 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 really present.
Mm-hmm.
So that I am there when my stuff comes, when the karma comes in, or self-hate, or I call it self-hate because I was looking at self-hate this week because I've been doing this email class.
Mm-hmm.
Loving the email class. Loving it. Best email class, and I don't usually say that. I'm kind of an email class resistant gal.
You've gone across the line.
I have crossed the line. Sent in a participation note. I've bombarded with self-hate.
Yeah, boy, those things go together.
Self-hate? I can't believe it. So I was saying that on the call. I mean, I'm just thinking, why is self-hate coming? You know, of course we know why. So, and then at the same time, there's this piece of content going on that this heinous crime against children happened in our area. Because of what I do, I've been very present with those who have been most affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want from me is an explanation. So it's all going to tie together what I saw. So they want an explanation about how, in this case, a parent could kill his children. So they want me to explain, you know, was he mentally ill, was he, you know, there's got to be some explanation.
They want to put it in some kind of box.
They want to put it in some kind of box. And because then it'll make sense and then I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not true. That process doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
We know that right here. Mm-hmm. So this is what I just saw on the call this morning, which is that the only safety is in the moment. Because I think where the tears were was listening to all these people who have a long-term practice. And we face what made that guy do it every single day. And if we don't pay really close attention, but by the grace of God, we get got. And
any of us could have.
But, you know, that's not really a popular notion, right? We want to think, I could never do that.
Yeah. Well, what people want, I think, is he was a bad person.
Right.
And then that put him over there where I don't have to look at anything that has to do with me about that. That is
right.
I
can create stories. You know, it's just so interesting. I can create stories and we can all be in this together and we're all... And what I just saw this morning was that place of, I got to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watched all of us talking about... The thing that struck me really was the last year, and it was something about, I've seen this, what I took from it was, I have practiced for a long time, and I've seen my karma telling me the same story over and over, and I still fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really humbling.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a way to practice with it. I got email classes.
Right.
You know, I've got the monastery. And I've got a way to sit with people as they process their stuff of this horror, to not judge them, to not tell them how to do it. Not let them off the hook. That was what I saw, was that that place. And it's a tricky, it's why what I was just reminded of as people were talking was, my job is to stay really, 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 really present.
Mm-hmm.
And that means present to what's arising in me, the good things to say, the necessary, the helpful things to say. Don't say, you know, watching all that going and staying really, really, really present. So when that thing from God drops in, I'll catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't, I'll just reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And
through that process over the years, it sounds like, to the best of your ability, you have not let yourself off the hook.
To the best of my ability, I have not let myself off the hook, and I've gotten got.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, when I see these horrible things happen, people, they don't really, a lot, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, but by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have done that,
mm-hmm.
but I've gotten got.
Mm-hmm.
And if I allow my, if I indulge egocentric karmic conditioning, I'm equally as likely to get really, 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 unfortunately, got where I'm in the newspapers. Mm-hmm. But it's tricky to say that to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that that's my struggle. I was really happy and grateful to be here this morning, talking to people earlier, and then now listening and looking with folks who understand that we're no different. There's no separation. It's not us anyway. Don't know what it was that happened, but you know, it wasn't him. And we have this incredible responsibility to stay really present.
Yeah, and we have something to offer to the world.
Yeah.
It really is. Like those last two shares, it's kind of a perfect thing because, you know, we're not going to go, like Penny's talking about, we're not going to go into, like, a courtroom and start preaching to people about how they should be.
And how we're all, right. And,
you know, how, but we can be what we want the world in the same way that was being talked about. And so there is that. And I'm hearing that you're practicing that. So you can see, so as this event has happened and as, you know, you're basically watching conditioning arise in these other people around you in response to this event. It's exactly the same conditioning that arises inside all of us in response to the things that are happening.
Exactly.
You're being with the conditioning that seems like it's happening to outside people in the same way that you learn to practice to be with yourself, which is to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Not let yourself off the hook, not make up stories and a way to kind of deal with things and package it up and put it in a way where you don't have to deal with it, but just being present and really kind of allowing that whole experience to happen in you. And it's easy to project that you're, for anyone who wants it, you're offering that possibility to the other people involved.
Yeah, so great. And humbled. I think that's where I was this morning. And I think that it was just like, how did I get so lucky?
Mm-hmm.
How did I get so lucky? I don't know. But I'm so grateful to have sangha and practice.
Yeah. Interesting, man. You know what popped in when you said that is, I don't know if people normally associate this with humility, but there's a great strength there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was relating with the power and the strength thing, because mm-hmm. there really is, and it isn't me, and it, you know, it's that whole thing I always look at, it's not me, and it is me, but it's there when I'm present, and it makes me feel taller and stronger and less frightened and not judgmental and open, you know, just all those things, and humbled because, and I like, and the thing that's been really hard with the last email class is that thing of, and it's funny how I forget, I read them and then have my assignment and then,
you know,
but that whole thing of, you know, and offering.
Living in Gusho.
Living in Gusho, mm-hmm. and then really offering that Gushoing, they go together, you know, that Gushoing to myself and who I am and what I, and stepping into that.
Mm-hmm. Because that puts you in place, basically, where you're adequate to anything that arises.
Adequate to anything that arises. And people know it. People feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they also know I'm not going to give them an explanation. They try to get one, you know, oh, Susan, from your clip, you have the soccer field, and watch it clear, and then, well, what do you think, Susan? Could it have been? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm in a certain position on the cushion, say, I can breathe and pay attention, but this is sort of a catch you off guard. Well, but I really, oh, wait a minute. But I really think of it. Yeah. And then, wait a minute, well, what do you, you know, what have you seen so far?
So you just
facilitate. How's your son? You know, how's he doing? And gosh, it sounds like you're doing a great job. You know, just that kind of.
I love that.
It was great. It had nothing to do with me because I was already, you know, I was all ready to give a clinical opinion on the issue. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't. The truth is, I don't know. That part of me wants to act like it knows.
Mm-hmm.
And give information. And
yeah, and that's what everybody's struggling with.
It is. It's what everybody's struggling with. So to just be different and be present and listen, because it really doesn't matter. How are you is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was afraid she's not doing it right with her kid. And I said, that sounds like doing everything right. Everything right. And it's true, I did. I don't know how to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'm feeling like looking at humility too and being humbled, and I'm just sort of in awe of this practice and how people step up to it. And when you just talked about humility and as a strength, what came to me was I think humility and humus share the same root, and humus is that stuff in the soil that is so important to life, but
full of nutrients.
Full of nutrients, but you would never pay any attention to it at
all. Right, it's kind of every day. It's like,
that's right. You just you look at the trees and the flowers, but you don't look at the that stuff. But if that stuff wasn't there, there wouldn't be the trees and the flowers.
Stuff.
So
it
really is kind of a great image for humility.
That's kind of the bed that we're growing out of.
Yeah, but I just am so impressed by, you know, what's available when we practice. And I've had this period this week of watching process, and so that the email class and really all of practice, it seems to me, is inviting us into such a big place, you know, such a, you know, and the life, which is such a big place, and the joy, and the belonging, and the generosity, and
it's definitely the focus of the class.
Yeah, and
it feels like kind of the class and other things too. I think that the guide is doing is turning the attention of the sangha in that direction.
Yes,
turning
yes.
it away from conditioning. One of I can't remember which class it was, three or four. There was talk about that. It's like we don't have to keep focusing on conditioning. We can turn our attention away and put our attention on. To life instead.
Yeah.
It feels like kind of sangha-wide.
Yeah.
The attention is turning like that.
Yeah, and what I've been watching as I turn my attention to that more, how conditioning just gets terrified and starts kicking up. You know, what it's been doing is going for my old familiar buttons that are the ones that are the hot buttons.
Which it will.
That turn me into a quivering lump of jelly, you know? And so here's this big expansive place, and then there's this little tight, painful place, and I'm just seeing them being there.
Yeah.
Both of them.
I'm so glad that that's where you took that, because that just seems so.
Yeah, it's but so.
It's just how it is.
That's how it is.
Well, we might, for conditioning, might idealize staying in a certain state, like an unruffled state of peace and equanimity or whatever, but and maybe that's possible. I don't know. I've never really experienced that. But I mean, for periods of time, for sure. But it seems like more. That's much more what life and practice is about. You know, there's that possibility, and there's the contraction, and there's the possibility and the expansion, and the contraction, and conscious awareness is taking all that in.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly, and I've really been doing that and having compassion for when I'm in the little quivering place. And what I've also been looking at is, so this process that it does with me is just incredibly familiar. I mean, it's not like it came up with something new.
Right.
No,
it probably doesn't have anything.
No, it doesn't. It has maybe two things it can do that really work, you know? So it's picked the one that really works really well.
This week.
Yeah, this week. And it hasn't worked really well, really, for quite a while. But all of a sudden it's working well again.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you don't have one. Like in the old days, I still do this, I think, but if you're farming and you have a crop, then you'll kind of let it lay fallow for 2 or 3 years. It's kind of like that. It's kind of gone down the background.
Right.
You know, the nutrients
right.
kind of building itself back up. It's like, well, we're going to need this sooner or later.
Yeah.
And then it sneaks it up, and you're not prepared for it because
right.
you haven't seen it for a while.
That's right. And so, you know, I was sort of, so as I was looking at it this morning, I was saying, you know, what is the power of this? You know, why for, you know, 40, 50 years of my life has it been able to, you know, it's the Charlie Brown the football. Why has it been able to do it over and over and over again, be wrong every single time, and I still
believe it.
And what I said, what I just saw as I said that was, because I let it.
Mm.
Because I let it do it.
Mm. Wow. So what that implies to me is that you're aware of it to the extent that you have complete choice.
It's like, okay, so here it's happening. It's not a mystery. This is what it does. This is how I feel. It's wrong. It's not true. Never has been. The power that it has is because I turn my attention to it rather than to that larger version of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If my experience is on it and what it's doing to me, then it can do whatever it wants.
Tell me, or tell us about the that I who's making it.
Yeah, well, I don't know the I who's making it, but it's an identified. It's someone who just isn't there. It's someone who isn't there for this the bigger life.
I see. So it's the absence of.
Yes, I let it by not being who I know I could be instead.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So the absence of conscious awareness.
Yes.
That happens.
Yes.
So the choice isn't really even for the.
It's not.
Thing.
Right.
It's the choice for not for unconsciousness instead of presence.
That's right.
It's and then it sort of it happens in that space.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. It's not like I go out and say I want to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I want that, or I'm going to choose that, or I'm going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's that when I, really, it's when I'm not moment by moment practicing what I know is possible, I'm giving it the opportunity to have its way with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you, from here, I think what you're saying is, from here, you know that.
Yeah.
Not this kind of knowing, but you know that. That's your experience. You have vast experience of that.
Yes.
When you're not here, that the choice to choose you in your life instead of that core pattern is just not available.
That's right.
It's just not anywhere around.
Exactly.
Hmm. What's really fascinating to me in that is that same thing that we often talk about, where that within you which is choosing the possibility
mm-hmm.
is not me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the thing, it's kind of a version of that which we are seeking is causing us to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that within you which you are turning your attention to is also that which is turning its attention to it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's very hard to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's because literally those two places, the open, inviting, friendly place, and the literally, I mean, this is how I picture it: this tiny little cramped ball of terror and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the same consciousness.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're not the same consciousness.
Well, again, it's so hard to say they exist. You know, they're all part of the whole. They're not, it's not like one is real and one isn't. But who's there in each place is not the same. I don't know what the word is, being mm-hmm. is what comes to me, but that's, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the only being I have, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's happening in a container that sort of surrounds all of it.
Yeah.
Both of those.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's all happening in, we might just that's what you're talking about, unconditional love and acceptance, perhaps.
Yeah.
Both the, I think that's what gives you, gives us the ability to just have it happen as it happens and just allow it to happen and observe it because there's nothing wrong with it. That's just how it is. There's that even larger perspective where it doesn't even particularly matter how this goes.
Yeah.
It's all okay, and there can be unconditional love and acceptance there, no matter whether I am identified in that really contracted place or I am making this other choice.
Yes.
There's an even bigger place than that to be looking at from.
Yes. Yeah. I think that unconditional love and acceptance is exactly it, and I think that's going back to where I started. That I think is what, anyway, I feel not only grateful for but humbled by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, humbled by.
Because it's so kind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so kind and so available.
Mm-hmm. And is given to us without our deserving it or meeting the standards or any of those things that we believe in conditioned mind, just as a free gift.
Thank you.
Jen. So I was just recording about what I heard in that conversation yesterday. And I don't know if I can quite say it because it was fun in listening to that conversation because it feels like a piece dropped in that I was looking for the words for as I was recording it, but I feel like I saw that, you know, we talk sometimes about, well, we talk a lot about making the choice we want, right, where the choice we want to make, but then right. We also talk about there is no choice.
Right, and there's no way to make it.
And that dropped in this very experiential way. And it feels like that was just what was being pointed at, is that I really saw that when I really am identified with karmic conditioning, I mean, there is no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because karmic conditioning doesn't want to make another choice.
Right.
And I'm identified with it.
Karmic conditioning is the choice to be identified.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I disidentify and life is all of me, again, there's no choice. Life doesn't go, now let's see, do I want to be identified?
Yeah, that's good.
Or do I want to be life? Mm-hmm. There's no choice.
There's no I there to make a choice like that. You're
just
life.
It is, exactly.
Or just karmic conditioning.
Yeah. So what I just saw in that last conversation, oh, so all we're really doing is we're practicing to be in the place we want to be. So I guess the reason it was so helpful is that so often there's that place of being identified and there's that trying to make the other choice. Right, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, but it's all happening within that.
Uh-huh.
And so just seeing that the practices, practicing all of the time of just being here,
mm-hmm.
just being present, what the billion ways we have to do that,
mm-hmm.
Being the breath, etc. So that I'm always in the place where I want to be. I don't know how to say it. It's funny, as I'm talking about it, I can't quite articulate it, but it's like a so that when I find myself in the identified place, to just know that the other is possible,
mm-hmm.
and kind of letting go is putting myself in the life place.
Mm-hmm. And just tracking you here, is in what you're talking about, is it necessary to no longer be identified for that to happen? Or no, that's not a good way of saying it. For no longer, is it necessary for it no longer for that identification to be happening?
I think I see what you're saying, and let's see if I can say it. It's impossible to will it to not be not happening.
Right. That's it. That's the problem. Yeah. So let me see if I'm with you. So now, this previous conversation might be gone at this point, but are you talking about that place we were talking about a minute ago where kind of like that large, the larger container of unconditional love and acceptance that all this is happening inside of? Is that what you're talking about, or do you think, or something different?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that would definitely be what you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, it's one of those things, I have this experience very frequently, I've really been playing with it, as that last conversation is going on, it's just right there.
Mm-hmm.
But much like a dream,
uh-huh.
Then when you go to articulate it, it's like, exactly. I mean, a little bit more orange, but no, slightly more yellow. I don't know, a little tinge of green, maybe.
Yeah, well, you're trying to squish this great big thing
for
this little tool of language, and it just comes out kind of squirrely.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what I hear you saying is that, there's a part of what the karma does is, karma is identification. And a part of what it does is, when it gets identified, it resists being identified, which is still being identified, still having the same place.
And probably only because that's such a good way to keep us involved.
Right. Yeah, it's got to give something to do, basically.
Yeah, it doesn't mm-hmm. care that we disidentify, of course.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, it gives us a little disidentification.
Right.
Which is still within its control.
Yeah.
And then there's this other place you're talking about where you're practicing being... I can't remember if you said, where you want to be, something like that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is different from trying to make this identity different.
Yeah, I think what I was trying to say is that I just get it, that it's not about practicing when I'm identified.
Mm-hmm.
It's about practicing.
Uh-huh.
It's about practicing.
Whether you're an Nymphite or not, but really.
Just all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And really not losing complete interest in whether I'm, quote, identified or not.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, thank you. I've been there too. And so, there, that's all. Just practicing all the time. And here's, oh, this connects up beautifully with the way conditioning often gets me, not assessing.
Mm-hmm.
Just practicing.
Just practicing. Without, it implying what you're saying, without any intended result.
Yeah.
Even in terms of your experience.
Yeah.
Even in terms, this is kind of, I think, maybe the hardest for a lot of us who are doing awareness practices, even in terms of not, like we could say, not being identified or not colluding with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a standard as much as anything else is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to get it that really we can make a choice in one sense. I mean, mm-hmm. in another sense, you could have a little rich conversation about making a choice. But
right.
in one sense, you can't make a choice, so don't think that you can. Mm-hmm. Instead, just practice.
Just practice.
And because practicing what we want puts us where we want to be, and then we don't have to make the choice, we're just there.
Yeah, and it becomes really simple, doesn't it? Because I think when you're talking about practice, what I'm going to is basically directing the attention.
Directing the attention.
Just super simple. And then everything kind of follows from that. And we don't really have to take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to try to make it go any particular way or plan, you know, figure out what that means or any of that. We just return our attention back. We practice turning our attention back to the moment. And then whatever happens, happens. Sometimes something happens that conditioned mind would call being identifying.
Yep.
Sometimes something happens that doesn't really look like that.
Yep.
But none of that really matters.
No.
Because there isn't anybody this is happening to.
Right.
Yeah. And so we're just practicing.
Yeah, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. So in the quote identify times, at least for me, the challenge is not to look around, keep looking at, is this working? Is this working? Is mm-hmm. practice working? Is practice working? And then in the open here times, not to fall for, I don't really need to practice.
Mm-hmm. Look at me.
You know, it's all working. Mm-hmm. It's great. And of course, that conversation is so on the radar screen.
Because
if you ever hear, I don't really need to practice right now,
you would try.
You know, so it's not. It's more just like a, just to go on along.
You know, as you're speaking, I'm experiencing a lot of gratitude for the tools that we have because it gives us a tangible way to do what you're talking about. You know, like we have email we have to participate in. We've got recording and listening we can do. We can sit.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of the level at least part of what you're talking about is that's what we do.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff just kind of doesn't even really matter all that much.
Yeah.
In terms of an evaluation of conditioning, it matters a lot in terms of you know, the well-being of this person,
right?
It's different.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, I saw Alice and then Krista.
Well, I'm really enjoying what we're talking about. It just giving me perspective to for me, practice has been seeing how I get God. How I get God. And a new focus this year is to focus on something that I've seen that is not about how I get God. It's almost like I almost see things in pictures
mm-hmm.
in a way, like as we've been talking, it feels like this entire platform that I'm on is compassion, kindness, goodness, authenticity, who I truly am, everything that is so.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the conversation that's just going on, it doesn't matter where my attention is. My attention can either be on this base, this starting place of, you know, I'm already good. I don't have to go anywhere to get it. I get fooled into thinking that I need to go somewhere to get it because mm-hmm. the other place that my attention can go to is, voila, egocentric karmic conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
The little dot. I mean, it's, I have this cartoon that I really like that describes that almost. It's like, it's the one that I have with beautiful colors in it and stuff like that. It's got these two characters in it. And it starts off with Susie like listening to this little dot in this mm-hmm. in this image, and Bella comes up next to her and says, "Hey, Susie, what are you listening to? Well, what are you doing?" She says, "I'm listening to this dot, and the dot is And she's like, oh, what's it saying? And she says, well, it's telling me about how, you know, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with life, how things don't work, and how I, you know, how I'm worthless, etc. And he goes, why would you listen to that? And she's like, shh, you're distracting me. And it really feels like what my experience of what it is that we're up against is that it's so captivating in that I feel like it's truly me, that it's providing me some helpful information. Mm-hmm. And it's distracting me constantly from the foundation of what's already there when I'm not being distracted.
Yeah, that foundation of acceptance.
Yeah.
And so in terms of the how you get God, how does that fit in with this?
Well, it's what I've been seeing in, like, you know, it's like different folk get God by different things, and that's what's so fascinating is sitting in a group like this in Sangha, and it's like some people get God by, just take typical example, like alcoholism or something like that. Like, and I'd be like sitting there, well, I really don't even like the taste of it, and never actually even tried it in my life.
Fall for that?
I wouldn't fall for that. Mm-hmm. And someone else falls for, you know, something else. And it gives me this feeling of like, this is what we're really up against, is what we get got by. To identify what that is and how important that is in the first steps of practice, because otherwise we get got over and over again and don't realize that we're getting got by it. Yeah. You know, we'll sit and meditate. Oh, sorry.
Well, I was just, I think what I'm getting from what you're saying is that you're looking at conditioning and how you get got from the perspective of that foundation.
Correct.
Not from a perspective, because that could easily be, how you get got could be a conversation that is also kind of within conditioned mind.
Exactly, because while my focus can be on how I can stop getting got, and that turns into a getting better program, and the getting better program is part of the whole conditioned package.
Right.
It's keeping me away from, I'm already good, I'm not focusing on the foundation. Mm-hmm. The foundation is not where that information is coming from. Mm-hmm. Where it's coming from is, I don't know, you can also say that there are two dots in there, one dot talking to the other dot. And it's the same dot, it's just having a little dialogue with itself.
Right.
Almost, you know, and that would be kind of interesting to diagram in and of itself, you know, of how I stay distracted from the foundation by focusing in on that conversation.
And if your attention is on the foundation, when those things, the dot starts talking to you, you can still be here, and you're just noticing, that's the dot talking to me.
Exactly, right. That, I think that's what we're practicing with. And more so, not becoming confused. And not in the not becoming confused from a place where I'm going to go, am I being confused right now? But almost like just that corner of the eye place where I'm really focusing on here, on that foundation, and practicing that over and over again. I don't know how to describe it too. It is tricky because the minute judgment comes into it, it's back in the land of the dot.
Yeah, definitely.
Any assessment, any do I like it, do I not like it, immediately throws it back up into there. And our job is to just, I don't know, it feels like for me anyway, keep letting it go, being more and more accessible, spending more of my time on everything that supports the foundation rather than the things that support.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Thank you. Krista?
I'm really loving that sentence. Everything I do affects everything, and I shall surely experience that everything. That just makes it such a great, accessible, understandable thing to practice with.
How so?
Well, because everything is a word that's really relatable, where karma is a bigger word.
I see. What does that mean?
Even for me, what does it mean? You know, I can, or maybe because I've said it for so many years, you know, so I don't hear it in the same way. But everything that I do affects everything. I mean, just down to like super basic, like, do I lay in bed when I wake up at 4 because I really want to be asleep, or do I get up because that'll make a difference? It'll, each one will make an effect, and I'll experience
the
effect.
You will experience it.
Whichever side I go with, I'll experience that side. Mm-hmm. And then it can just go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really kind of clarifies things a lot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It kind of shows us kind of what's at stake. Mm-hmm. Or another way of saying it is, it really presents us with a clear choice to make.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, laying there at 4 in the morning, if it's not clear that you're going to experience the consequences of the decision you make there,
mm-hmm.
then, I mean, you don't really have anything to go by in order to make a decision, the decision that you want.
Mm-hmm. Another example is, you know, I've had a little trouble with my health over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I'm feeling a lot better.
Oh, good.
It's very exciting. And I was working out yesterday, and I thought, I haven't felt this good in years. Mm-hmm. And the normal thing to do would have been to work out harder so that I could exhaust myself or hurt myself because I'm not that fit, so blah, 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 you know. But I feel good, so I really have to give it everything I have. Instead, I went, wow, I had that awareness. I haven't felt this good in years. And then I stopped. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, check that out. That is seriously grown up.
Yeah. Well, and I bet you anything, you know, we can apply that same rule to that, too. You know, you're experiencing the effects of what you have, the choices you've made.
Exactly.
You've grown up through the choices you've made, and you now you have a power to make a choice that was not available to you probably before.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. When I have the power.
When you have the power.
Yeah.
It's always there.
When I don't have the power, to have that saying, everything I do affects everything, mm-hmm. is another way of possibly seeing the way to the power.
Absolutely, because, you know, we always have that choice to, we always have, in a way, a choice in every moment. So mm-hmm. maybe, like, you know, let's say you were working out and that thought, oh, boy, I feel great, I'm gonna blast ahead. And so you do the kind of the old thing and get hurt or exhaust yourself or something. There's still a choice there. For example, there's a choice to not have a meeting with that.
Right.
You know, or there's a choice to record and listen about that so that you can remember next time or whatever it might be.
Right.
That even though, you know, when I say conditioning sort of kind of had its way with that,
mm-hmm.
you're still putting the pieces in place to make the choices that lead to the experience that the heart wants,
mm-hmm.
even with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our time. Thank you all.